We're pleased now to talk to a majority UAE-owned UK property developer, Northacre, and to welcome to the studio Niccolo Barrettieri di San Pietro, the CEO of Northacre. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for coming in. Now, you're developing in London a former police station in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea in conjunction with Gulf Islamic Investments. That's not your owner, but it's a $130 million project. It was announced in the last few days, and it would suggest, to me at least, that you're taking a pretty bullish approach to Brexit, perhaps understandable relating to the fact that a lot of your money comes from overseas and the pound is low. But then yesterday it was announced that Northacre's first half revenue fell by 10%, as the company also warned about uncertainty arising from Brexit. So Brexit, good for business or bad for business?
I think we should tackle the question in two different parts. I think if you're looking at our revenues, the revenues of development companies are historically lumpy because it depends years where we exit projects and others where we don't. And in the last portion of the year, we hadn't. So that's why the explanation of the fall of the revenues by about 10%.
That was to June, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, exactly. So I think you'll see a different story next year where we're going to be exiting one of our major developments. Regarding Brexit, is it good or bad? Only time will tell. I can only tell you what I can see in the short term. In the short term, the impact that the decision has made on the exchange rate between the US dollar and the pound has had a very important shift in the mentality of dollar-denominated buyers.
You must be rubbing your hands together that it's stubbornly hanging around 130.
Yes, and for us actually that's quite interesting, because if you look at, for example, the police station, but there's another example of a development next to ours which has just been bought by a Hong Kong developer. It shows that foreign money is coming in. In dollar terms, the market is about 30% cheaper than it was 2 years ago.
One of the other things that I think I see a trend with the sort of projects that you've got, you're also developing 10 Broadway, site of the ex-New Scotland Yard that a lot of people know. It's going to be a six-building mixed-use development. And when I look at the list of projects that you've done, iconic sites in London seem to play a pretty big part in your portfolio. Is it easier to sell sites or flats on sites with which people are pretty familiar and may have a history? Does that make it a lot easier to sell?
You know, I think that first of all, we have to be selling a piece of London, right? And people are coming to buy our properties because they're coming to London, they love London, and that's where they wish to have a home, be it their first or second home. And obviously, it's easier to sell them when you're selling something that is that they can relate to, and that they can feel they're buying a part of London. So yes.
Let's talk about the London real estate market. I've read a couple of recent reports from investment banks that flag up big red warning signs about prices in London. One of them was from UBS, the Swiss bank, yesterday. It says Vancouver, London and Stockholm rank as the cities most at risk of a housing bubble after a surge in prices. And then, well, about a month ago, SocGen came out with a report post-Brexit saying, we see a classic housing bubble in London and Brexit is the trigger for the correction. A price correction of 40 to 50% in the most expensive London boroughs does not seem impossible. As a developer, what do you think when you read reports like that?
Well, I take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, because 20 years ago when the bull market started, I didn't see them flagging up there was massive value in the market either, right? So let's not take it as the oracle of actually what's going to be happening in the coming years. I think London is unique. London has an incredible scarcity value. The buildings are small and they're short, and there isn't that much coming to the market, regardless of the press is saying of more apartments coming. The high-end luxury part is we're talking of 200 apartments a year. So I think that the scarcity value and the fact that people love the lifestyle and want to come there, they want to educate their children there, is a very strong fundamental bedrock for building on where we are now.
Well, Northacre is 70% owned by the Abu Dhabi Financial Group, so I'm hazarding a guess that finance wouldn't be an issue should you wish to buy more property in London. What is your view on the potential return in London over the next 3 or 4 years compared to other European cities?
First of all, money is always hard to come by. Whenever we find sites that we like, we always have to convince our investors that it's a great investment.
So is it a hard sell?
It's always a hard sell. You know, it's very smart money, and they really want to make sure that they're doing the right kind of investment, and hence it's always a long process. Rightly so.
Let's look at the size of properties and the way that's changing. You talked about scarcity value, and there's just this morning a really interesting piece in the FT that says lots of new luxury apartments are appearing in central London in the city's latest housing boom, but some of them are going to be less palatial than originally planned. And they talk about your development in particular. The latest example is the new Scotland Yard site in Westminster, where Abu Dhabi-backed developers are in talks with planners to increase the number of apartments and cut their size. Now, that's in the FT. That's not from you. First of all, can you confirm the veracity of that report? And second, more broadly, this idea of the shrinking London apartment, as the FT calls it. Are we seeing floor plates and sizes of apartments shrink in London?
I actually totally agree with that statement. What you're seeing is that because the pounds per square foot has become pretty high, London was the only city that I can think of where the larger the apartment, the higher the price per square foot. Okay, the only place in the world. And I think it had reached a point where the apartments had got too big even for these owners that wanted big places. And you're seeing a bit of coming back slightly to reality and actually trying to put together apartments that that are the right size for people to live in.
Now, in April, the UK government introduced a 3% stamp duty, a land tax surcharge on additional residential properties valued at £40,000 or more. This was for the UK and abroad, where a lot of people have got holiday homes. Now, it might be an issue at the lower end of the market, but does it sort of apply? Is it an issue on the types of luxury property that you develop? 3%.
Well, you know, increased taxation never helps the cause. However, we also have to put it in a global context and see how that compares to the rest of the world, because obviously our buyers are not just looking at London, they're looking at cities like Hong Kong, New York, and so on. And if you look at the new stamp duty, be it 12 or 15%, depending how you look at it and how many homes you have, is bringing it broadly in line with other major cities.
Is anyone going to live in these apartments, Nicolo? I'm sure they'll be beautiful. They might be small, but they will be perfectly formed. There are some concerns in London, not just about the price of apartments, that parts of it are becoming a ghost town. These are apartments that people will stay in for 5 or 6 weeks in the summer, maybe a couple of weeks Christmas shopping in December. But otherwise, they'll be lying empty. People don't rent them out. They're rich people. They don't need the rental income. What kind of visibility do you have on that?
I think it has been a bit of a problem that started in the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years of this talk of the lights out in London and so on. I think that reducing the apartment size is actually going to make it a more interesting investment proposal as well for people, where people will actually be renting it out, also at the high end. So it goes hand in hand with what we were talking before of making the apartment slightly smaller.
Just before you go, what's the average price of a property that you would sell? Just want to find out if Richard and I can afford one.
Well, I hope so, and I can definitely sell you one afterwards. They go from about 2 million to about 30.
You could buy 10 in Slough for that.
Well, thank you very much, Lee, for coming in. Nicolo Barrettieri di San Pietro, the CEO of Northacre from London. Do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.